Father, now as we look into your word, we pray that you would speak to us, that we would hear your voice. We pray, Father, that if there's someone in need this morning, that he or she might find. How many of you like to wait? The registry is like the DMV in other states, Department of Motor Vehicles. It's where you go to, you wait to get a number, right? You wait to get a number, and you wait for them to call your number. Then when you get up there, you find out you're missing a document, so you go back home, and then you get to start it all over again. Anybody been there to the registry? I'm saying the truth, right? Yeah. God bless the people who work at the registry. They must get a lot of... describe my weaknesses. I've told people I've been in ministry now for 40 years. I don't have any blind spots anymore. People have been really good at pointing them out to me over the past decades. But patience is not one of my strong points. I like want everything, you know, now. So that's not the way life works, is it? Matter of fact, waiting is something that God tells us to do quite a bit in the scripture. Those who wait on the Lord, Isaiah said, those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They will walk and not grow weary. They will run and faint not. They will mount up on wings like eagles. Waiting. As Paul is writing to the Thessalonians, as we've seen these he talks a lot about the coming of the Lord. And as we saw a couple of weeks ago from 1 Thessalonians 4, that some of the Thessalonians were under the wrong impression that those who passed away, those who died before the coming of Jesus, somehow would miss out on the rewards, on the joy, that if you died before Jesus came, somehow you would miss out on being with him forever and ever. And Paul belayed those concerns. He said that when the Lord shouts, when the archangel makes the command, when the trumpet of the Lord will sound, he says the dead in Christ will rise first. And those who are alive will together with them, those who died in Christ, meet the Lord in the air. Now, I might not like waiting for a driver's license renewal. I think I still have a couple years left of renewal in life, not a couple years left in my life. But one never knows. One never knows. That's why you need to come to Jesus. Might only have a couple of days left for all I know. I don't like waiting for that, but I can tell you something else I can't wait for. I can't wait for Jesus to come again. I can't wait for Jesus to come again, but we have to. And one of the reasons we wait is because God is loving and merciful, and he's waiting for all those whom he has called to come to him. So the Apostle Paul continues this theme as we come to the fifth chapter of 1 Thessalonians. Now, brothers and sisters, times and dates, we do not need to write to you. Now, why does he say that? You know, there are always people who seem to think they know better than God. I don't know how many times in my lifetime people have gotten on the radio saying, Jesus will be coming on October, well, we're already past October, on November 15th, 2020. And some people have sold everything they had, or some people have mounted up Christians, crazy Christians, not that I know any of them personally, don't look at the crazy ones right now, who would max out their credit cards thinking, I won't have to pay that because Jesus will come and I don't have to worry about it. But believe me, people have done that. Some of you know that. There have always been people who have wanted to set dates and times. I always tell people I'm on the welcome committee, not on the program committee. I'm on the welcome committee. I'm not on the program committee. Jesus himself said, when the disciples said to him, when are you coming again? Jesus himself said, neither the angels nor the Son of Man, that's Jesus himself, know the day or the hour, but only the Father who's in heaven. Now you might say, what do you mean Jesus doesn't know? Well, when Jesus became man, he limited himself. He put aside those attributes, those divine attributes. And as we said a couple of weeks ago, Jesus is just waiting for the Father to say, go get my children. We are not to set dates. We're not to set dates. Paul says in verse 2, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. A thief in the night. Now, I mentioned to you on various occasions, I believe even a few months ago, that when we lived in the Chicago area, our house was robbed. I shouldn't have been surprised. I got a telephone call a couple of days before. I should have listened to the voice message. Dear Mr. Haber, we are coming to rob your house this Saturday. You think that's what happened to me? No. No. Oh, there was a note in the mail. Dear Mr. Haber, we hope you'll be out on Saturday because we're coming to rob your computers, your VCRs, if any of you remember what those are, VCRs, your coin collection, your wife's jewelry. We're coming. Did that happen? No. Our thief didn't even come in the night. He came in the middle of a cold February afternoon. Thieves don't announce when they're coming. If you're a thief, if I don't know if there are any thieves here, but if you want to be successful in thievery, I've read about this. I don't know about this personally. If you want to be successful in thievery, don't announce you're coming. It could really ruin your career. Paul tells us that the day of the Lord is an Old Testament image. The day of the Lord is talked about by Joel and by Zechariah and Isaiah. The day of the Lord is when the Lord comes and makes everything right. That's the day of the Lord. That's the second coming. That's what we're waiting for. The day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. Now, before you get too upset, we need to go on. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. So we move from the thief metaphor to a pregnant woman. I know a lot about this too. No one knows, so I'm told, no one knows for sure. No, the doctors can tell you that arrival date. My daughter-in-law's sister gave birth to a baby this week. How many months early? 2 months early. Pray for this little critter. We don't know for sure. When Paul is saying, when everybody thinks everything is okay, watch and be ready. Peter, in his letter that we studied earlier this year, Peter talks about it just like it was in the days of Noah. Like a newborn baby doesn't give you the exact time on the calendar. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness so that this day should surprise you like a thief. This is where a lot of people drop the ball. The day of the Lord should not surprise us. The thief, give my life to Jesus now. I know what you Christians expect. You don't say we can't smoke, drink, chew, or go with girls who do. That if I become a follower of Jesus, I'm going to have to give up all the things I like that you Christians say are no fun. Well, number one, that's not completely true. Look around this room. Some of us have a lot of fun all the time. Being a Christian isn't about what you give up. Being a Christian is about whom you belong to and what he gives you. Love, joy, peace, patience. The thief metaphor is for those who don't know Jesus. Jesus has told us that he's coming again. We, as we'll soon see, are to live as if he were coming today. We shouldn't be surprised. Because we know that that, as I said a couple of weeks ago, is the next major event on God's agenda. Today, I don't know. Tomorrow, maybe. 1,000 years from now, who knows? But we know that this is the next major event on God's calendar. You are all children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. In other words, we're not part of the dark light metaphor. Those who walk in the light are believers. Those who walk in the darkness are not on their lamps, ready to be ready for the bridegroom's coming. That should be you and me, prepared and ready. So then, verse 6, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober. In other words, as Jesus often said about his coming, watch and be ready. Watch and be ready. For those who sleep, sleep at night. Some of us try and sleep at night. Get to a certain age, it gets more difficult. Those who get drunk, I don't know about this personally myself either. Those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate and the hope of salvation as a helmet. If this sounds familiar to you, you'll know that Paul in Ephesians 6 expands on what we call the armor of God. That equipment he gives us until he comes again to withstand the fiery darts, or as we say here, the fiery dots of the devil. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath. You know, the gospel is good news for those of us who believe, but it's bad news for those who don't. There's a day of wrath coming. There's a day of wrath coming when Jesus comes, not as a baby in Bethlehem, but on that white horse, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he will bring us to live with him forever, and this whole world order will be destroyed. That's the day of wrath. But God has not appointed you and me to that wrath who belong to Jesus, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Deliverance, rescue. Why is Jesus waiting? You know, limit waiting that I have. Let him go to the registry for me. The Lord is waiting. He's waiting for those we love and pray for, those who've not yet crossed the line into faith, to come to him. And here we have the gospel again. Live or dead, we may live together with him. Again, Paul is encouraging the Thessalonians that even death cannot separate us from the love of God. Isn't that what he told the Romans in Romans 8? What can separate us from the love of God? Neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things to come, nor anything else in all of God's creation. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Not even death. Are you ready? Are you ready, though? Are you waiting for him? Or are you like those who are going to have a thief break in and see wrath and judgment? Are you ready? Are you waiting? And then Paul ends this the same way he ended the passage, chapter 4, about Jesus. Therefore, encourage one another. But he adds to it, not just encourage one another, build each other up. Edify. Build each other up. Encourage people. When one of our brothers or sisters is weak and in need, come alongside them and help them. And he says, this is what you Thessalonians are already doing. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep doing what you're doing. What do I want you to know this? Prepared. Be equipped. And encourage each other in the name of the Lord. How do we do that? First of all, I want to encourage you to live expectantly. To live expectantly. In Matthew chapter 24, as I said, Jesus says no one knows the day or the hour. As I mentioned, a thief doesn't send a warning letter to the house he's about to rob. He surprises the occupants. There will be no warning. There will be no warning about the day Christ returns to punish the wicked. That day will be sudden and unexpected. Jesus himself said in Matthew 24, verse 37, as it was in the days of Noah, so will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. This is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill. One will be taken and the other left. Therefore,
watch, because you do not know on what
day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would have not left his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, for the Son of Man will come at an hour that you do not expect him. See, the Bible talks about signs of the coming. I'm not going to do a whole prophecy conference here. Jesus said, when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, you'll know. Some of you probably don't know the name of this guy, but he's called the father of Christian rock. Yes, there is such a thing, Christian rock. His name was Larry Norman. I heard him in concert as a kid. He's with the Lord now. Larry Norman, you know, he was the one that some of the older church people didn't want us to listen to when we were kids, because he had like long hair down to his shoulders. Larry Norman, his most famous song was called "Wish You'd All Been Ready." I could almost hear him singing it in that rock voice. Life filled with guns and wars. You find it on YouTube. Larry Norman. I guess you don't want me to finish the song. Life was filled with guns and wars. And everyone got trampled on the floor. Norman, right? Long blonde hair. Larry Norman wrote a song that talks about the thief in the night and how you don't expect his coming. But we who are believers, some of you are going to go home and listen to that song, I know. We need to live expectantly.
You might think everything's okay.
Let me tell you, it doesn't matter who's elected into the White House this week. They're not going to be able to protect us from the wrath of God to come. Doesn't matter which person. Even one of those other people I saw on the ballot that I never heard of. As if Jesus were coming today. Jesus said, I'm coming soon. His definition of soon is a lot different than our definition of soon. My kids remind me, don't tell the grandchildren that we're coming to see them soon. They think that means immediately. That's kind of what believers have thought for millennia, that Jesus is coming today. Every generation thinks Jesus is coming in his or her generation. But how many generations have gone by? How many are yet to come? We don't know. We don't know for sure. Scripture tells us not to foster fear and not to be complacent, but to live expectantly. In other words, to watch and be ready. He talked about be sober, be alert. Live as if Jesus were coming today. Every one of us needs to live as if Jesus were coming today. Be prepared, equipped, and encourage each other in the name of the Lord. Live expectantly. Also, live victoriously. Live victoriously. The Thessalonians were terrified about the coming of Jesus. They thought they might miss it. Paul tells them, no, don't do that. You are children not of the night. You are children of the day. Live victoriously is what I see. Live in the light. See the coming of Jesus as the final triumph. The light of salvation is referring to the salvation of God. Those who walk in the light must live in the light as he, Jesus, is in the light. You are children of the Heavenly Father. You are not to walk with your head down. You are not to walk in defeat. You are to live victoriously. Jesus has already won the war. The devil might try and win a few skirmishes between now and when Jesus comes again, but victory is yours. That's another song, not by Larry Norman. I can do Southern Gospel too. Victory is mine. Victory is mine. Some of us can do it. Some of us can't.
Jesus tells us that we are overcomers in Christ. And you might say, well,
I haven't felt much like an overcomer these past
few months. I've been afraid.
I've been weak.
Maybe even have dropped the ball in sin a few times. Remember who you are in Christ. It's not
about our performance, it's about His performance on the cross. Amen. You see, He has declared you holy and righteous in His sight. It's not based on what I have done or what even I am doing. It's based on what Christ has done. He is transforming me to be like Him. And I might not feel victorious 365 days a year, but in Christ, I am victorious. We are not losers.
Don't let anybody
call you a loser. In Christ, we have the victory. Paul reminds us that to keep us living the victorious life, He's given us equipment. He doesn't go into the full extent like He does in Ephesians 6, but we have the spiritual armor of God. Faith and love in 1 Thessalonians act as our breastplate that protects our heart. Faith is trusting God. Love is worshiping in Him, adoring Him. That's what protects us until Jesus comes again. We have the helmet of salvation. And if you go to Ephesians 6, you'll see even more of that armor of God. The shield of faith that blocks Satan's darts. The breastplate of righteousness. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Truth, our loins gird together with the truth. All of that is ours so that we might live the victorious life. The purpose of Christ's death on the cross for us is so that we might be made alive in Him and live with Him both now and for all eternity when He comes again. Again, I say to you, my friends, if you've not given your life to Jesus Christ, why not? I've been watching a lot of YouTube channels lately, learning some things. Been trying to get healthier during this COVID-19 season. Driving my wife crazy. I watch all kinds of health, nutrition, and exercise things now. And you know what everybody says on a YouTube channel? Make sure you click subscribe. And then hit that little bell, the alert button, so you can know what's happening. Let me tell you something. Some of you have not yet subscribed to eternal life in Jesus Christ. Some of you have not yet subscribed. You're missing out on the joy of the gospel that He can forgive you and give your life meaning. Would you click the subscribe button now? Say, Lord Jesus, I am yours. Would you do that? All you need to do today, whether you're here in the room, I won't do a little invitation and have you come forward. I'll just say right now, even before the message is over, give your life to Jesus Christ. Subscribe to eternal life. Say, I believe You died for my sins. I believe You rose from the grave, and I give my life to You today because You're calling me. Someone say, I've subscribed. I've subscribed. And if you're listening online, you can subscribe as too. But let me talk to the believers now. Some of you forgot to hit the little bell. Some of you forgot to hit the bell, the alert bell. Some of you have forgotten that it's not just about giving your life to Christ, it's following Him. And He's been sending you these alerts about how you can live the life more victoriously. And you might have subscribed, you might have given your life to Jesus, but you forgot to hit the bell. You forgot that He wants to speak to you every day.